time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
1, 2, 1, 2. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, back again. You already know. We're here for you. What's good, man?
Oh, man, it's all good, man. We out here on the front lines, man. I guess by the time you're hearing this, but today, you know, that Michelle Obama special will be dropping. You know what I'm saying? Michelle Obama, Winnie Harlow, Tina Lawson, and Kelly Rowland sitting down on the round table.
And, with a good Angie, right? Angie Martinez.
And,
right?
Angie Martinez moderating the whole thing. It's like Ladies Night 2022, you know?
So, nice.
Yeah. So that'll be dropping tonight, man. And, you know, it's hard talking about the future and the present at the same damn time. The future and the past, because as we speak, we are in the middle of posts tapping down on the latest, you know, making sure it's polished and all that. And then, you know, by the time you hear it, you know, it'll be out in the world. So that's been a hell of a ride putting it all together, you know what I'm saying, from the top to the bottom, you know what I mean, from Secret Service on, you know what I'm saying, to actually closing it and them arriving in the building here at Revolt Studios Atlanta. That was a big deal, man. And it feels good to be winding it down.
How deep is her Secret Service detail? Like how many people?
Well, the thing is, you don't know. You know what I'm saying? You meet with one motherfucker, then they, you know, whoop whoop, and then you don't know who the fuck out there and around, man. You don't ask no questions either.
Yeah. I heard them niggas be on your rooftop sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know what they be doing, but you know what I'm saying? You know they there. They call them secret for a reason.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't know what they got going, but, you know, they was very nice, though. You know what I'm saying? Professional, yo. So I guess as long as you don't do the wrong thing, you're in a good place.
That's what's up. Yeah, I can't wait to check it out. Sounds like it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it was a good combo.
Well, go ahead. Speaking of her, I haven't watched the interview, but I saw it on YouTube. I think she was on The View. I'm seeing her, like, out and about. You know what I mean? Like, really, like, revealing herself. I forget, maybe going by her real name. What's her name? Gabrielle or something like that?
Gabrielle.
Yeah. Like, she really, like, she getting her ghost face evolution on. You know what I'm saying? Right, coming from behind the coming from behind the music and the mystique and the big glasses and all of that. And she just out here being her. Not her, but herself. So it's cool to see.
It's interesting because I didn't know much about her. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, very mysterious. And then as we were doing the thing, I looked her up. You know what I mean? So let me see what she all about. She been around as a little kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they were, you know, going by Gabby Wilson. And she sang on Good Morning America and, you know, became a sensation. Prince was, she was like a protege of Prince or some shit like that. At least that's what they say. So, you know, I'm like, well, damn, she a whole vet, you know what I'm saying, in the game. And is, you know, did a whole reinvention by changing the name and all that stuff. Is, you know, it's beautiful to see, like, when you take control of your own thing, your own narrative, change your thing up, and move in a whole different way from the way that people expect you to move. And then, you know, you already got this immense set of talents. And to be able to market those talents in a way that's palatable for the, you know, mainstream audience, you know, that ain't no easy shit to do. You know what I mean? So shout out to her parents and her team, you know, the guys over there at MBK. They did a hell of a job, you know what I'm saying, growing her, protecting her, and then, you know what I'm saying, allowing her the space to grow and now be able to come out and move around in a way that's like, hey, let me get in front of my own life. So it's dope to see.
Right. Yeah, I remember hearing a long time ago interview with, what's the head of MBK, Jeff, what's his name? Okay, yeah, I don't know his last. I forget his last name, but you know, basically he kind of used the Alicia Keys model with her, you know, because right. Alicia Keys was a young multi-instrumentalist or songwriter and piano player and super talented.
Right.
But like, you know, and then same similar situation with her. So you kind of had the template down. And
he had done it.
Yeah, he'd done it before and he did it again and got her set up lovely business-wise from what I understand. I forget, this was a while ago he was talking about that. But yeah, mm-hmm. shout out to her.
Yeah, Jeff Robinson.
Jeff Robinson, yeah, peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. And shout out to y'all for all the well wishes and all of that shit. The nigga is COVID free out this bitch. Nigga, the shit. Ah. Yeah, man. I'm on the other side of two negative at home tests. I ain't get a PCR, but
word.
You know, I'm on the other side.
Yeah, so, buddy. It'd be good to see that negative when you see it.
Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie though, it was a little bittersweet. You know what I'm saying? Because it was, you know, you know what I mean. I was happy that I made it through, but you be like, damn. Oh, I guess I'm regular again. You know what I'm saying? I guess nobody
gotta get back to the world.
Right, I get back in the world down here, get it cracking, nigga. COVID is the ultimate do not disturb because niggas ain't gonna pull up on you when they know you got that vid.
Nah,
but
it's funny, man. When I was in high school, I worked at the hospital. Miami Jackson Memorial Hospital, which is like the county hospital where they take everybody.
Okay.
And, you know, my job was pushing patients, dead and alive.
Pushing P.
Yeah, pushing P. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you'll have, you know, pregnant moms going home or going to their room, niggas going to x-ray, motherfuckers coming out of the emergency room, being transferred to a floor or ICU or wherever they got to go. But the most interesting thing that I would see, it was like in the crisis unit, right? That's where, like, you have a mental break. They take you to the crisis unit. And over time, you would start seeing, like, some of the same people, you know what I'm saying? Like, repeat visitors, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you come in, you know, you bring them in, and then they get set up in the room, whatever. Then you got to take them from this place to the next place, wherever they got to go. And you get to know some of them, you know what I'm saying? And some of them, you see them all the time, and they in there, they happy, it's all going down. It's like, damn. And then you start to, then you push them out to their taxi when it's time to go, and you can see their whole demeanor changing, you know what I'm saying, because they got to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in my mind, and I don't know, but you know what I'm saying, then you look at some people around you in your neighborhood and your family, and you be like, I wonder, you know what I'm saying, if this was like a ghetto vacation for them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They had a situation, you know, they had to get handled. You had to take care of yourself. But you could tell you get a ride from your house to the spot. You know what I'm saying? You get dropped off. Somebody come pick you up, roll you in. You know what I mean? They get you set up in your room. You get 3 hots a day. You know what I'm saying? People come checking on you, Mr. This, Mr. That, making sure you got your all what you need. And then you get a break from the world. Then you got to go back to the world. And it's like, as a kid growing up, you know what I'm saying? We didn't really go on no vacation at all. Like, you know, grandma's house or, you know what I'm saying, your auntie's house in another state. But it's like, there was never a time somebody came, picked you up, you had 3 hots, you know what I'm saying? And you could see the enjoyment of the people that's receiving those services. Yes, they have the mental services that they need to take care of, but it almost felt like they really enjoyed the attention and the time that people gave to them, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, damn, you know, and then when you had to push them out, they like, I got to go back to the world. Shit, you know what I'm saying? It's like, go back to the house. It is real life that you got to deal with. And that it felt like that weight weighed on them as they left out versus when they came in 3-4 days before. You know what I'm saying? I said all that to say, you know, so when you get back in the world, it ain't always easy.
It ain't always easy. But then there's also, to that point, you know, when you sick, right, if you in the hospital, that's about as sick as you can get, right? Oh, they up in the hospital. That's like, that's the ultimate, you know, that is kind of like when we talked about this a few times before, the trauma of always having to be busy when you black, mm-hmm. right? The guilt of rest, you mm-hmm. know, the... You sound like you were sleeping. No. I was waking up.
Nah, what
you
talking about? I'm good.
Yeah. Nah, nigga, sleep is the cousin of death. Hustle nigga. Culture, nigga. What you just laying about? Grinding. Yeah, man. Like, so when you are down, you know, COVID has some legitimacy to it. At least these past few years, mm-hmm. 10 years from now, COVID gonna be the flu. You know what I mean? COVID might be 24-hour situation, man. Go ahead, man. Shake that shit off. But in this moment, it's almost towards the tier of in the hospital. Because COVID could wind you in the hospital. You could wind up in the hospital fucking around with COVID, mm-hmm. right? So there is that point of I could rest up and get well without the looming expectation of, well, when you back on your feet, you know what I'm saying? when you coming in now, come on now, what's going on? How long you gonna milk this shit? You know what I'm saying? So there is a bit of relief that could be bittersweet when your ass is back into the world. You know what I'm saying? So it's interesting, because I ain't gonna lie, like, you know, the directive was like, yeah, man, drink plenty of fluids. You know what I'm saying? My homie was like, yo, just, you know, he kept it 100. Just eat fruits and vegetables. Don't do nothing else. Don't eat nothing inflammatory, all of that shit. Rest, drink a bunch of, you know, whatever. But rest. Rest was hard. You feel guilty because you're like, damn, I should be out here, especially at the end of the year, at least for me. At the end of the year, this is a time, especially these few weeks before the end is all the way in the books. This is the time of the audit. You know what I'm saying? What happened this year? What did I do this year? What did I yield this year? The opportunities? How did I advance? Did I decline? You know, all of that could kind of come into fray when you're doing the tally. And now here, nigga, is laid up. Not like you gonna make some shit. Not that you gonna make up a whole. You could, but it's very. It's not the. You probably won't make up a year in 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? But there's people out there trying. Yeah, there's people out there trying. But then there's that thing of, take it easy, man. Rest. Don't worry about it. Like, if you try to be there next year, just relax, bro. Take it easy. Don't. Or you know, like just take it easy. Like you don't gotta explain why you inactive in this moment. Like take the leave. But I will say this as a transition. I was laid up, right? So I was watching a bunch of shit, watching all types of shit. We're gonna talk about some shit, but you saw the ghetto vacation. I got it too. Now this ain't a ghetto vacation. This is definitely a luxurious vacation. But I wound up binging season 1 and season 2 of The White Lotus on HBO, right? And this is a show that I seen it when it kind of, I guess when it first came out, I guess it came out right around the time that Mayor of Easttown ended. So that's a long time ago. And just by the, like, the key art, it didn't really look like nothing I truly wanted to see. You know what I'm saying? Looked a little too, like, maybe just a little too white. You know what I'm saying? Too neutral color, too, like, you know, it just didn't, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't have no verve to it, at least to me. Like, so I, you know, and I seen the little bit of buzz building around when it first came out. People talk about it. I even tried one episode, but I think I tried it at the end of the night, you know what I'm saying? And I wound up falling asleep on it. Not to any indication of if it was good or not. It just didn't, I was tired, you know what I'm saying? I'm good for fallout in the middle of some shit. So now I went through quite a few shows and shit like that, You know what I mean? I'm at one of these places where I'm looking for some new shows. You know what I'm saying? Land over, House of Dragons over. I forget what other shit. Kanan, all of these shits is over. All the shit that we talked about is a wrap. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to pick up some new shit. And, you know, I had the time. And, well, one, I'll say this. If y'all don't know this, before I even get into the White Lotus. Then fuck it, I'll get into the White Lotus real quick. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I don't know if it's for everybody. I enjoyed it. But what it was interesting, it was about, like, both seasons, the backdrop was vacation. You know, mm-hmm. away on holiday or whatever. The first season, there was multiple couples and characters that were, Hawaii was the backdrop. They were at this hotel called the White Lotus in Hawaii. And it opens up where there's a dead body being loaded onto a plane. They're in an airport lounge, and there's a guy sitting in the chair, kind of like checked out, a little dazed. And across from him was like a older couple, and they on the precipice of their vacation, so they like, hey, where you coming back from? You know, coming back from Hawaii. Oh, really? Yeah. Where were you in Hawaii? I was at the White Lotus. They were like, oh, no, we heard there was a death. And the guy's like, you know what? Respectfully, mind your fucking business. Step off. Right? Love her respectfully. Or no offense, mind your fucking business. So he step off, and then you see like a box being loaded onto the plane. Says human remains. That's how we start. So you know from the door, somebody dies. So now it goes back to like a week earlier, and then everything kind of plays out. And like I said, there are these very, like the backdrop is this resort, the White Lotus, and there's various different couples, different characters, and how do they all interplay? How do they affect each other? How do they orbit around each other? And there's also the hospitality staff at the hotel and shit like that. And it's like only 6 episodes, you know what I mean, first season. And it was pretty good. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty good. I had my what's my homegirl's name? Natasha Roth. What's my girl? She's the only black person on the whole show, FYI. But my girl that plays Kelly on Insecure. I'm going to try to find her name while we're talking. Yeah, who I like a lot. But, Natasha Rothwell. She's on there. This season one. Who's on there season one? Natasha Rothwell. Oh, God, I can't. Connie Britton, who I fuck with. I don't know if y'all know that, but I've been a fan since Friday Night Lights, Nashville, all of that shit. And some other people that I can't think of off the top of the head. But, so there's that, and it, you know, just how it unfolds. And what I like about the show is, one, it's like almost like a magazine show. In the, if we take it way back to shit like Entourage, or even on a lesser level, Insecure, in the way that like the backdrop, the city, you know, is also a character, right? And this came out in COVID, and there's this theory, but there was the kind of argument like this was a way for people to feel like they traveled when they were, you know, stuck at home or whatever. Right. So, because they don't mention COVID at all. So, but it's just what I really like is the world builder, and I like how they advance all of these various people's storylines, and they kind of play within each other. I thought it was kind of cool. And then the second season, they're now in Italy. They're in Sicily. They're in Italy. One character, Jennifer Coolidge, is brought over from the last season to this season. Aubrey Plaza's in that season. Michael Imperioli, who played Christopher in The Sopranos, he's on there. You know, that HBO love, them motherfuckers will call you back. But long story short, it starts with a dead body being discovered. And then it's not like a whodunit, but it's just like, how did we get here? We go back a whole nother week, and then you seeing, you know, the interplay of these different characters. And like I said, it's at a resort situation, high-end resort. So, you're dealing with people with some money, so there's discussions of class. There's a little bit of discussions of, like, you know, society and things that, how, you know, society is changing, whether it's gender, patriarchy, race, you know, all of that type of shit. Not in a very heavy-handed way, but just in a way that kind of plays out and shit like that. But I ain't gonna lie. I enjoyed that shit. It was cool. I watched the whole shit, knocked through that shit. That was cool. And then on some other shit, which I was completely very much surprised and happily surprised by, on Friday, just out the blue, season 3 of Southside dropped. So 2 episodes of Southside came out. Okay. And if y'all know anything, I done talked about this shit on the show before. Southside's my shit. That's a funny ass show. Only 2 episodes drop. That shit back. They doing their thing. They still funny to the motherfucker. It is what it is. So that shit was good. And then also 2 episodes of season 2 of Random Acts of Flyness. Now I know that's your homie.
Terrence Nance and the homie Sean Peters. I would assume Sean is still doing the DPing on it.
Maybe. I'm not positive. I know.
Yeah, I'll look it up, but yeah.
Yeah, look it
definitely
up.
Definitely, that's Terrence Nance's show. That's, you know.
Yeah. And I think he's now, like, in it. Like, he's, like, acting in it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he acted in it in the first season.
He did. He had the scene about polyamory.
Okay.
In the first season where, mm-hmm. you know, they had a, you know, they was trying to basically, through the show, break down what polyamory was, and he played mm-hmm. the role of the guy in the polyamorous relationship.
Okay. Yeah. That's a whole nother. Yo, but I'll say this.
Shit, he was the first person I ever heard that term, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was his real life. Like, I was like, you know, Terrence is polyamorous. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I had to go look it up.
You know what I'm saying? No. Yeah. No, that's funny. I had a whole conversation with somebody who said they poly as well. And similar to you, like, I heard it around, but I didn't really know exactly what it meant. So I had to go do a quick Google too. Because mm-hmm. I just knew it was progressive. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. It ain't progressive. It's really just being 100.
Yeah. It's saying, being, yo, I was like, shit. By that definition, I was polyamorous before I got married. You know what I'm saying?
If you keep it at 100, I think that's really what it is doing your thing but being up front with it.
Right.
And not fronting and not hiding some shit, right. Saying, yo, I'm seeing you and I'm seeing you and I'm seeing you.
Right.
And I just need you to know that. That's right. What it is.
That's what we do.
It's on the table. Yeah. And it's a fly name for it, for just being out in the world. You know what I'm saying? It sound fly. You know what I'm saying? Right. They, you know.
Hey, but people been doing that shit for ages. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like,
right,
you know, in this generation of things, things need a label. Things need a, you know what I'm saying, a title. There, you just can't be out here mm-hmm. in the world just making shit up as you go. Like, mm-hmm. once you make it up, it need a category to fit in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
but that mm-hmm. shit ain't no new shit at all. That means...
ain't nothing new. Ain't nothing new under the sun. It's just definitely some new labeling or whatever. But mm-hmm. I was saying regarding Random Acts of Flyness, like, you know, obviously we as black people, we are not a monolith, right? That's one of them shows that's going to let you know. Because mm-hmm. I'm all about black weird shit. You know what I'm saying? Different shit, like make you scratch your head type shit. You know, Atlanta's done some black surreal shit. Fucking Lovecraft Countries does some shit. I watched the first season, I believe the entire first season of Random Acts of Flyness, and I liked it because it's just compelling, at least visually. You know what I'm saying? The way it told stories, but they wasn't, like, always linear. Mm-hmm. I got to re-go back to these first 2 episodes. But it ain't no knock on it. I'm happy that the shit is out there. But the shit is different as fuck. It has, like, I ain't gonna lie to you, that shit have you, like, well, it have had me scratching the fuck out of my head. Like, you know, we talk about Atlanta or certain other shit where you watch, you'd be like, well, I'm sure they making some type of statement. It's like art. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at it, it's like art. Like you looking at that shit, you like, I don't all the way get it. I appreciate it. I like it. I'm happy it's here. But I don't know. Maybe I need some type of piece to complement it to explain what's going on.
You need an after show.
Need an after show. Exactly. I need an after show.
Hosted by Terrence J.
Hilarious. Terrence J and Terrence Nance. Terrence J like, yo, explain that to us, please. But that's back too. So y'all check that out too. Shout out to Terrence Nance. Shout out to Bashir and Diallo or Southside. Yeah. Mike White on the White Lotus.
Yeah. So Sean is the cinematographer on it again. So
peace to Sean.
Yeah, peace to Sean. Peace. But yeah, I mean, I guess we do need new shows, you know what I'm saying, to break down. I have a lot of requests for shows, you know what I'm saying? One of our longtime listeners, guest on the show, you know, we always reference her, Felicia. She, she's volunteered to to freelance produce and sends over some suggestions.
We
got the BMF documentary, which,
I haven't watched that yet. It's been around.
It's been around, okay. But, you know what I'm saying? It's always good to break some shit down. Okay. So, yeah, White Lotus on the list. That was on the list.
Okay.
Ghislaine Maxwell on Netflix. You saw it?
No, I saw it when I was going through the Netflix shit, adding stuff to the queue, but I saw that in the thing. I ain't watch it yet.
Okay.
I think this is the second one. Ain't there was one on HBO too, I think.
I'm not sure. Murdoch, on HBO, which is like the real life Succession.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that.
And then something called Spectre on Showtime.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. I had to look that up. But, we'll decide on which ones we're going to do. You finished with White Lotus though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but dog, if you want to watch it, take some time, watch a few episodes, whatever. We could chop it up in retrospect.
Yeah, no, but my wife watching it, so
I
could catch up.
Yeah.
So, but definitely, I watched the BMF joint. You know what I'm saying? And then I catch
what
up
on
White Lotus, Murdoch, Ghislaine Maxwell, which sounds like a one and done. So and those are easy to do.
Okay.
And then, BMF for sure. I'll have that watched.
All right, bet. We'll check that. I'll jump into that.
Yeah, so we keep the breakdowns going.
All right, bet. Oh, you got Apple TV or nah? Apple Plus?
Yeah. Apple Plus be coming with all kind of shit. I think I've had it and not had it over.
I'm in the midst of a trial right now, so that's why I'm getting them shits off.
The crazy part was like that first year. They gave you like a 1 year trial.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "God damn!" And I had two of them from like when you buy your phones, you get a 1 year trial Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure where I stand with it.
I saw that. I saw that Will Smith.
Slave movie, joint.
Yo, you watch that? We'll double back on that because I would like to unpack that.
Yeah, we gotta watch that. Yeah, I heard that was good.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. We'll talk about it.
Write that shit down.
Emancipation. Yeah.
That nigga Will Smith like, shit, I can't deny a slave movie now.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? I done did the aliens. I done, play some legends. But shit. When you got to throw your alley-oop and your Hail Mary, nigga, slave movie or two.
Yeah, we going to talk about it. Shout out to my man Mark Norman. A funny joke. He was like, he said, Will Smith got a slave movie out. He's probably going to do well in it because, he's used to all the backlash.
Damn.
I said, damn. That shit is hilarious. I'm sorry. That shit is funny to me. But anyway, speaking of that.
You know what I'm saying? Well, if it was a brother that said it,
I get it.
I could hear his voice.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I think.
I just heard that in his voice, and that shit sound terrible, but, I get it. It's funny.
It is what it is. And he started saying, I got some horrible shit to say. But Speaking of that horrible shit and backlash, the producer of the actual movie, he has the actual photo. You know that a lot of that's built around the guy, the man in the photo.
Right.
And you see his Peter, back and it's is it, what is it?
Whip Peter or Whip something. Hold on.
Maybe. But he was on the red carpet and he pulled it out like a trading card. He was like, yeah, you know, I own the photo and this is the photo. I've had this for all this time and it's in my personal collection and I'll have it until I die and then I'll donate it to a some type of museum so it could still be looked at. It was just something weird about that. Yeah. Like, it was just, you know what I mean? Like, it ain't really all the way sit right that you just, you know what I'm saying, just got, you know, fucking horrific slave memorabilia just in your pocket on the red carpet and shit like that. But it is what it is.
It's based off of that whole story. Yeah, his name is Whipped Peter. So that's the name of the photo. And I guess the man's name is Peter, and they was just showing off all his lashes, which meant Peter was a bad motherfucker. He was talking shit.
Oh yeah.
He was doing something, running away. He was acting a fool out there, cutting up.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, what the fuck else you gonna do to me? I want to see some of the stories in the movie, but you know, I had came across this book. I forget where I got it from, but I got it on my bookshelf. The Bullwhip Days. It's just interesting to read the slave narratives from the voice of people who were actually in it. You know what I'm saying? And you learn a lot, and you know what I'm saying? It kind of knock off some misconceptions about shit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for some reason I thought, you know, slaves, you know, you couldn't do shit. You just get up and slave. You know what I'm saying? 7 days a week. But apparently, you know what I mean, they had juke joints and shit where you could, you know, you get a pass from your plantation and go to the party. And you know what I'm saying? And you be partying with slaves from other plantations, and then you just can't get caught without a pass. You know what I'm saying? That's what the patty rollers, which is the police now, will be checking your pass. They was out there to check your pass. You know what I mean? If you ain't have your pass, then. But I'm like, damn, what if a nigga just take your pass and say you ain't have it? You know what I'm saying? It's like a pass, that's very fragile. Like when they be talking about freedom papers and shit, you gotta carry your freedom papers. Like, what happens if you lose your freedom papers, nigga?
Gotta protect that shit.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't like that shit in the cloud. You know what I'm saying? NFT or no shit. That shit is like, nigga, you fuck around and get it wet, you in trouble.
Stakes is high. You know what to do, dog. You know what I mean? Like, shit. It's like holding on to your passport overseas.
Right.
You know what I mean? Fuck that. Yeah.
So,
oh, man.
I mean, and it's, you know, as much as, you know, you get tired of, like, slave movies and shit like that, there are still a whole lot of stories that really haven't been told. You know what I mean? And they're not all... I mean, they all are traumatic because, you know what I'm saying, you were in bondage, but it ain't all just whips, you know what I mean? It's like they had to get through their daily life too, which had had a lot to do with the plantation and the people, but it also had a lot to do with heart and family and, you know what I'm saying, and building makeshift families when your families are ripped apart by the whole thing, you know what I mean? And you could see... like some of the same things that go on today, and you know, in your mind you could be like, damn, it could be rooted in that right there, cause shit, you know what I'm saying? It was like I think the juke joints, cause like for a long time I always was like, damn, why parties always jumping on Sunday? You know what I'm saying? Like Miami Sunday was a heavy party night, and then I'm reading in the slave narratives and shit. That's when they got to go to the juke joint on Sunday. They got to go to church and then the juke joint if you got a pass. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm like, damn. That's interesting, but, you know, I don't know. They did a number on us, man.
Absolutely did. They definitely did a number. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. Speaking of that, like, you said, what was it, Bullwhip Diaries, the Bullwhip Narrative?
Bullwhip Days.
The Bullwhip Days. There's a book that I heard is real heavy. It's called Without Sanctuary. It's like lynching photography in America.
Oh, wow.
And it just shows you, like, everybody was getting lynched. From child all the way to the elders. Like, and just, the, like, how brutal it was. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, it's crazy, man. It's like, it's such a, you know, it's... It's a wild, I don't even say wild, I think that's diminishing it. Like, it's a horrific past, right? It's a horrific past, and we forever should be mindful and grateful of where we came from, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, to know that, at least for us, as fucked up as it is even to this day, probably never been a better time for us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just like, I don't know, man. It's a weird balance, though, of, you know, this, the fatigue of the trauma of reflection and documentation and making movies and drawing from the past, but then the importance of it, because at the same time, there's a whole movement to kind of, not even kind of, but to erase a lot of that, you mm-hmm. know? And sadly, most people learn a lot of their history through film and TV, you know, as opposed to reading books and things of that nature. So, like, it's as important as it is exhausting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man. Yeah, you check out Emancipation. We'll double back and check it out.
Yeah.
On a lighter note, Drake almost got engaged 42 times. I don't know if you saw that shit.
I seen the commentary. I didn't see the original. You know what I'm saying? I don't know the backstory. I just saw people talking about, you know, that would be a record. Da, da, da. I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? And I ain't had the time to Google back.
Yeah, I just came across it as I was scrolling through today. I seen he came out. He got like a diamond chain that's made of all just diamonds, solitaire diamonds or whatever, like these big ass, what would be engagement rings, 42 big-ass diamonds that would be the 42 times that he thought about getting engaged, which is hilarious. That shit is hilarious to me. He got 42, hold on. So what's that? 84 cold feet? You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is crazy that he even thought that many times. He was like, yo, I think this is the one. He that nigga. But it's just such a Drake ass stunt. I forget what they call. I think they call it the engagement, the name of the chain. But this shit is silly as hell.
It's a crazy piece. Troll.
Oh yeah. Nah, that's a wild thing. But that shit made me laugh, man. That shit made me laugh.
Yeah, Drake know how to get them going, man. You know, he probably saw that shit. Like, you know what? This what we going, you know what I'm saying? They plot that bitch out and roll it out.
Got a meme team.
Yeah, damn, meme man. Team.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Drake was in the A last Friday. You know what I'm saying? He was out here with 21 Savage doing, you know, popping up at the Lil Baby concert. Yeah. It's strange because, you know, Drake, a big artist. He move around. He been in the A. You know, he's been in the A before and a lot, but it's just always an event when you know, that type of artist come to town.
Mm-hmm.
Because this town has so many of their own artists, you know what I'm saying? But Drake, you know, is still that nigga out there, you know what I'm saying? I know people like to make jokes and, you know what I'm saying, and play with the 21, would you do something?
Mm-hmm.
Niggas still sell out shows, man. That nigga ain't fucking around. At all.
Especially down there. He's a goodwill ambassador.
Right.
You know, he played a heavy hand in a lot of those careers.
Right. He almost like Gucci. but not.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Gucci is the legendary Hall of Fame A&R of the A and Memphis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Memphis. So now, people don't give him the credit he deserves sometimes, man. But
what's Gucci's Memphis
credit? He had motherfucking Young Dolph signed.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know he signed them.
He signed Dolph. And then he went to jail. You know what I'm saying? When he went to jail, then Dolph had to go do his thing. You know what I mean?
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's a heavy hand in the Memphis scene. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, of course he, you know, had all pretty much all these other people that's out here was riding with him, signed with him, or he jumped on their feature first, put them on the mixtape first. You know, so Migos, all these cats. So,
oh yeah, now I know about the Atlanta shit. I didn't know about the Memphis. I know.
He got Pooh Shiesty too.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's Pooh Shiesty. This is he the one signed Pooh Shiesty.
Is Pooh Shiesty from Memphis?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought Pooh Shiesty was from DC or something like that. I don't know. I get them confused with Shy Glizzy. I know Shy Glizzy for sure is from DC.
Right.
But Pooh Shiesty done name that whole fucking mask after him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, he got his own apparel.
Right.
And he's been baklava.
He's been in jail still riding.
Oh, shit. Oh, he's still in jail, huh?
Don't get me lying. Don't get me to lying and shit. But he was in jail. Let's see what the internet.
I think he still is locked up. Check it out. Get the clarification.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, he got Pusha. I think he got another Memphis artist right now.
Okay.
Shit. But you know, speaking of that, you know what I'm saying? Dolph got an album dropping, first one since he got killed, dropping on Friday.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I saw that announced today. I got pretty excited. You know what I'm saying? Cause, you know, they used to put out so many records. You know what I'm saying? Like, this nigga putting out new records every few months. So, you know what I'm saying? It's always something new with them. You know what I'm saying? With Dolph, Key Glock. Either he putting something, Key dropping something. They doing something together. They just keep that rotation going. And it is, you know, it fill up your, you know what I'm saying, your Memphis listening. You know what I mean? It's always, you know, good beats, you know what I'm saying? The flow is consistent, so you know what to expect. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like you got these overdrawn out expectations of what it might be for them. You know that shit's going to be some dope-ass beats. Them niggas talk about some getting some money. You know what I'm saying? Anything other than that is a bonus. But, you know what I'm saying, for your get money inspiration, they going to have it for you every single time. And you know, I want to see what he was saying before he left because, you know, you was expecting whatever he was going to drop when he was here.
Mm.
So I'm excited for that. Key Glock just announced he going out on tour, so he probably got a couple of joints on there that's going to go with it. So, yeah, man. Yeah, man.
There you go. I heard a cool record with Key Glock and Amaretta. That was tough. I like Amaretta. She get busy. She spit.
Yeah.
So that was a cool old record. Yeah. I listen out for the Young Dolph situation, man. Posthumous albums is always tough for me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just so unfortunate. And in my mind, they don't, you know, it's very hard for them to kind of live up to, you know, the legacy of the artist. You know what I'm saying? But, definitely gonna check it out. See what's good.
The only thing that fucks it up for me, you know what I'm saying? Especially with an artist like Dolph, who crafted his own narrative and his own label, and his, you know what I'm saying, and utilized his own formula, is that now it ain't gonna be his formula. You know what I'm saying? So you question. You know what I'm saying? If you hear something questionable, you're like, they done fucked up this man formally. Right. So you can't really, you don't really know where to assess the, you know, you attribute the fuck up to. You know, when they hear, you know, okay, that man put this out, he's standing on what he put out. So, all right. But usually, if it sound off, okay, he must have meant to do that, you know. But when it's after the fact, it's like, you know, you don't know if the man had a whole heavy hand in what you actually hearing, or did they just cobble it together, you know.
Right, yeah, yeah. And oftentimes it sounds like it, you know what I mean? It sounds like it, or sometimes they throw people on that are hot at the moment that they may not have been connected to. It's a tough one to do, and obviously you want to build some capital for the family, and from what I understand, I believe Young Dolph's situation is everything that he does, his family eats off of. Like, he owns all the rights to his shit, from what I think I've read.
Right.
So, I mean, there's the, you know, you understand the reason for it, but just sonically, hopefully it connects. Hopefully, it you know, for the fans, hopefully it's done well. I got a question. In that vein, and this is just off the top of the head, and I don't include Life After Death. I think the Biggie Posthumous album was Born Again. But and maybe this is just in the same vein as Life After Death, so maybe it's not in the conversation. But the question is Machiavelli the best posthumous album that you could think of off the top of the head? I know it's a quick question, so, you know, we'd have to really get into it, but off the top of the head,
I would say Life After Death, but
because I guess that's posthumous. Yeah,
yeah, it came out after he died, you know what I'm saying? But you know what I mean?
And it's called Life After Death.
Right.
Oh yeah, I guess.
And then they were pretty much finished with it when he got killed, I think. You know what I'm saying? Because he was promoting Going Back to Cali. Hypnotize. They was promoting Hypnotize. And then like with Machiavelli, you know, that one came out right. It obviously was finished because he was finishing shit so fast, and it didn't feel like they had any missteps in it. You know what I'm saying? It felt like they threw no shit on there that shouldn't have been there, like they did with the later ones. But I think I would give Life After Death that edge because it had so many bangers on that bitch. You know what I'm saying? His shit was so sonically correct. Machiavelli was dope too. Now, don't get it fucked up. He had some shit on there, but I think Biggie's would, in my own opinion, Biggie's would edge it out, you know what I'm saying, narrowly. It was a double album. It had, you know what I'm saying, had a lot of shit on it, you know what I mean?
I agree. I don't even think it's close. I agree. If we putting Biggie in that conversation, I agree. I will say this, though, and this is just off the top of the head that And I'd have to go back, but as far as, like, you know, sometimes when people use vocals, people passed or whatever, something, honorable mention, and they're not all, everybody's not dead, but the way that they treated the Fife vocals on the last Tribe Called Quest album was really dope. Like, it sounded like of the moment. Like, it sounded, the energy was there. Like, it came across well. And I got to go back and listen to it again. But, like, I remember in the moment, it just flowed well. Like, it didn't have me being like, damn, I wish Fife was, like, when Fife was on, when he was on the song, he felt, like, alive. You know what I'm saying? Like, he felt like he was there.
And so, and I think that could be attributed to the fact that somebody like Fife, similar to what I said about Dolph, he was consistent with his flow. He wasn't doing a whole bunch of different shit. You know what I'm saying? He had a flow. He rode the beat a certain kind of way. He had a certain wit, a certain humor, and all of his shit across the board consistently. So, you know, if he laid the verse, he probably laid it in the same way he always laid it, which made it feel, when you do shit like that, it's like, it feels timeless because nobody else could really copy it once you lock into something consistently. You know what I mean? It's kind of like Jay has a consistent flow that nobody has been able to really duplicate. You know what I'm saying? Because not only was it a certain kind of cadence, whatever, it was his wordplay. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to duplicate. Just like Biggie, his wordplay is hard to duplicate. So his style is everlasting because nobody has been able to copy it and wear it out. You know what I'm saying? Pac, you know what I'm saying? Fife, Big, you know, shit like that. That's, you know, I feel that's probably why I felt this kind of the same type of energy. Because as they would say, you know, Fife kept that same energy on every record. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter if Busta Rhymes was on that bitch, you know, next to him. Fife gonna come and do Fife.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's consistent.
Yeah, consistent. And you expected it from him. You ain't expecting him to do nothing else.
Yeah. Lastly, while we're talking about rappers that passed, rest in peace to Granddaddy IU. He just passed away.
And,
man. I fucked
with him. What was his song?
Something New. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
Hold on. From the Granddaddy. that shit was hard. I can't sing it high, you know what I mean? But that was that shit. That beat was fire.
I appreciate the effort, though.
Yeah. I ain't all the way commit. I should have at least commit for what it was, you know what I mean? But, yeah, rest in peace to that man. You know what I mean? Y'all go and stream Something New. That's on the, what album was that on? That was on the first. You know what I mean? Exactly.
You know what? It's crazy.
Ooh-wee. Yeah.
Because Poison Clan had a song with the same beat on their first album.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It was JT Money and Debonair as the Poison Clan. They had a song off of that. It was a hit where we from. Everything they did was a hit where we from. So
Yeah, he had a fly little flow. Like his vibe was, he was in the pocket. He was one of them that had a dope little flow that was in the pocket. Something New was a fire record. That's back in the days when, and I don't want to misrepresent the singer on the hook, but that was in the era of women singing the hook that was just from around the way. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it might have been Mary. I don't know. I'm not sure for sure, so I don't want to all the way put my foot in my mouth. But there used to be a sonic sensibility of some of these, you know what I mean, Takitha or Chinky. And you know what I'm saying? Like these women that would hit them vocals, and you'd be like, ooh, them shits would hit the spot. But it was almost like the vocal equivalent of a session player.
Right.
But yeah. And I definitely couldn't hit those notes. So, but y'all understand. And when y'all listen to it, you're going to feel the soul.
No doubt. Yeah. Shout out. You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace, Granddaddy IU.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That Poison Clan song was called Bitch That I Hate. It was their first single. I mean, it might have been the second single, first or second single off of their first album, Two Low Life Motherfuckers.
Yeah, they set in the tone, huh? They got a point of view.
Yeah, they definitely had a point of view. They were
on the fence.
The ghetto popes of fucking Miami and shit. But JT, man, he almost made it over the hump into the into the national view when he had that song Who That with Dallas Austin. Mm. Who That, you know what I'm saying? It was like a song that went to number one on the rap charts before, you know what I'm saying, he kind of faded out. But from the national scene. But, you know, the nigga always had that point of view that the street niggas loved in the South. He was the one who kind of was the predecessor to that down South type of vibe, the way you spitting, but you spitting real street shit. Like, he opened the door for Trick Daddy, you know what I'm saying? Rick Ross.
Mm-hmm.
He was the you know, they only let one nigga have it at a time. And he was that nigga for a long time before Trick Daddy came in. So I think they first album dropped 1989, 1990. Trick Daddy probably hit like 1999. So until then, it was JT all the way. To the point where I seen, you know, when, you know, Fat Joe said that thing where he discovered Trick Daddy and so that led to a whole lot of Miami.
Well, he say he got him signed. He
got him signed. Right. So that led to a lot of Miami conversation in my inbox. And
I believe it.
And then somebody sent me this thing where JT Money, not JT Money, but Jay-Z, 99 Problems But a Bitch Ain't One. And they had Ice Cube telling the story like how Brother Marquise from Two Live Crew brought that to him, you know what I'm saying, a few years before that, I mean, many years before that, like 11 years before that. And Ice-T had the song 99 Problems But a Bitch Ain't One. Well, it's called 99 Problems. But then I was like, well, shit, all y'all niggas stole it from JT. You know what I'm saying? Because he had it in the song 2-3 years before Ice-T. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all got to get, don't leave that man out the conversation if we're going to have it, Ice-T. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
And, yeah, but to that effect, we talking about Big. You know what I'm saying? I saw another interview, and I might have said it on here before, where Big was interviewing with Luke on his show Peep Show. And and he was saying how JT Money was one of his favorite rappers. You know what I'm saying? And then when I go back to Ready to Die, I can hear that shit. You know what I'm saying? I can hear that shit because Big adopted the same POV as far as who he was, as far as like, you know, robbing the train, you know what I'm saying, selling rocks in front of, you know what I'm saying, in front of the building to feed my daughter. Like, he adopted that same POV as a street person that JT and them had on Two Low Life Motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Except for on that first album, he also transitioned to being, you know what I'm saying, a celebrity. That's when, but he didn't become like a big time drug dealer on his record. He became a big time rapper. You know what I'm saying? It was all a dream. You know what I'm saying? Who would ever thought hip hop would take us this far? But where he started robbing and selling rocks and all that shit, a lot you could hear that POV that was the same that JT Money had, which is interesting. You can prove it. If you had to prove it in the court of law, you might not be able to prove it, but I could hear it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Big had a real eclectic taste in rappers. You could tell, and obviously, like, I'm not as connected to a lot of the new rappers. I like, there's a few that I like, but, like, I think maybe even because the landscape was a lot smaller back then, but, like, Big particularly was a fan. You could tell he was a fan first, and then he got into it, and he seemed to be very like open and like showing love to the people that he fucked with, even people that may not have been on the radar. Like, he was one of them cats that seemed very expansive, especially being somebody from New York, listening to people from all over early on when, you know, that wasn't really the norm. That was like, you had to really be ahead if you were up on people from different regions and shit like that, because you would have to seek it out. And he was definitely known for that, and he would big up a lot of, you know, cats that are not always commonly heralded. So that's fire. I'm going to say some other shit. Speaking of Fat Joe, it's funny that this whole I guess a little controversy or whatever, or a little mix up has come up, because in the same time, one of the things that I did in my healing journey, I went to the library, and I definitely took out the Book of Jose. So I'm in the middle of reading the Fat Joe memoir, and the shit is good. The shit is, I mean, this nigga's, you know, his storytelling is bananas. It's a whole lot of crazy shit like that, whatever. You know, now there's a little bit of scrutiny to it. But, you know, I fuck with Joe as a storyteller anyway. He's definitely a figure. And but so far, I mean, his shit is a movie, and he ain't even made his first record yet. The shit that he's talking about in this shit is crazy. But so far, I'm enjoying it.
First of all, I want to salute you for being an avid library goer in 2022. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Still exercising your right to a free read out here in the world.
You know what I mean?
Secondly, I'm going to shout out Fat Joe, you know what I'm saying? Because he was probably the first New York rapper who really fucked with Miami. You know what I'm saying? Like, that nigga was there all the time. You know what I'm saying? He it was this guy DJ Raw, who was like from Zulu Nation, like the Puerto Rican chapter of Zulu Nation, probably the Bronx or something, and had moved to Miami, Wynwood, when Wynwood was kind of like Washington Heights in Miami. It was like Puerto Rican and black, you know, before all the art shit. It was just a Puerto Rican and black hood where DJ Raw had assembled a group of rappers and built this makeshift studio. And he would come to the car wash where I'm at, where we used to work up at sometimes. My homeboy cousin owned this car wash. DJ Raw would come all the time. And Fat Joe would be with him a lot of the time. Like, damn, this nigga Fat Joe is just out in the hood. Like, this shit is in the hood. It's in Liberty City on 54th Street. And it was like, Fat Joe is just chilling. He comfortable. He with DJ Raw. They Puerto Rican and just there. You know what I'm saying? So he played a significant role in, you know what I'm saying, communicating the Miami scene to New York people. So I would give him that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, you know, what the politics was on him helping Trick Daddy, because Trick Daddy seemed to come and refute it, you know what I'm saying, in his stories, of course, you know. Of course, you know what I'm saying, his first record out of jail was with Luke, you know, and Scar, you know, Santa Claus Coming, Trick Coming, you know what I'm saying? That was his first record, you know. So he was like, shit, ain't nobody had to take me to Luke, because goddamn, I went to the Pac Jam and never left. I moved to the nigga house, you know what I mean? So, you know, shout out to Fat Joe, though, because he always, you know, respected the scene in Miami and spent a lot of time in that city in the early 90s, you know what I'm saying? Like, early on, you know what I mean? Like, 90, like 1990, shit like that.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you could tell he's aging in a way where, like, not a griot, but you know how... You know, there's certain terms and phrases that people say or touch on as they get older, and they just, you know, they've lived a lot of life. So, like, to that point, well, one, with the Trick Daddy thing, he was like, Trick might not even know. He was like, I didn't discover him. He said, I took his tape to Craig Kalman and said, yo, you should sign this cat. Mm-hmm. Craig Kalman was like, we signed the cat you talking about, blah, blah, blah. And then same thing with Pitbull, right? Now, but the other thing was, to that point about him being in Miami, he was like, it just sounds like such a like a older head. He was like, you know, I've been in Miami 20, maybe 30 years, and I've never had not one argument, not one disagreement while I've been down here. Never in my life. And it just sounds like a nigga that's lived a whole lot of life. Never in my life have I had a disagreement. You know, and I would love to talk to Luke about this. You know, I tried to comment. I'm restricted from commenting, but I would love to have the conversation. You know what I mean? But it's just interesting, man. Yeah, but, you know, shout out to all of the legends. You know, Luke, Fat Joe, Trick. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that's been doing this shit for a while. Pitbull, all them people, man. That's a fucking accomplishment in itself to still be relevant this many years later from your debut, you know? But shit. You already know what that shit means.
Shit.
Yeah, man. Anything else you want to talk about, or how you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man. We good, you know what I'm saying? All right, well, you could call it.
There it is. Well, look, yo, it's been a pleasure chopping it up with you as always. You know what I'm saying? Another Wednesday in the books. Till next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. Yeah.